Joining us now on Animal Concerns of Texas is Jason Weirich. Thanks for being with us, Jason.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Jason, can we start out by having you tell our listeners how you got involved in veganism?
Sure. I was actually a vegetarian for a few years before that, and I was not a very smart vegetarian because I replaced all the meat I was eating with an equal amount of cheese. Right, like, I would go to Pizza Hut and I would get a cheese lover's pizza with extra cheese and some more cheese as an additional topping. And so, like, I was already overweight, and so I just kept getting overweight. I became diabetic in my mid-20s. And then a very good friend of mine, who also ate the same way, found Dr. McDougall's program after she got diagnosed with diabetes. And so she went vegan and reversed her diabetes in less than a year. And then I got diagnosed with it right after that. So I had a pretty easy role model to do so. And then, ironically, as a vegetarian, I had no idea about factory farming. And then when I went vegan, I found out about factory farming. So that's what kept me on the vegan path for all these years.
Well, that's interesting.
So with your diabetes, did the doctor tell you, like warn you? You said you had been overweight before. Was he telling you, you know, you need to change your diet and change your lifestyle to be more healthy and recommending that you go vegan? Or was it something that you found on your own? You said your friend found it on her own, but was your, well, I'm just kind of curious about if your doctor mentioned anything to you.
So what happened was I had an infection, which is one of the symptoms of diabetes, and it had gotten out of hand. And eventually I got admitted to an emergency room in Austin. And, of course, you have to do, like, the entrance exam when you first get in there and fill out all this paperwork, and I just put that I was diabetic on it. And the physician came in. He was very, very angry after he went through the procedure to take care of that infection and told me, like, he was asking me why I didn't put down I was diabetic and all this other stuff, and I was like, oh crap. And he said it was, my blood sugar was so bad that he thought I was going to have to take insulin for the rest of my life. And I was only 27 at the time.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm not even 30, and someone's telling me to take insulin. I was going to be on medication, and I thought, there's no way I'm going to do that. And there was no talk of diet from anyone in the medical community at the time. That was almost 15 years ago now.
Yeah, it's like amazing that even today, healthcare professionals rarely bring up the fact that many of these chronic diseases can be ameliorated by just changing your diet, a relatively simple change compared to being, like you say, giving yourself shots every single day and trying to regulate your insulin with medication.
Yeah, I think there are a couple things going on, which is the medical community is slow to change.
Yeah.
Which is science, so that's not necessarily a bad thing, but they've been a little slower than they should have been. And well, if they recommend that, they have to recommend something that goes against how they live their own lives. That makes it extra tough.
I think a lot of doctors are also pushing pharmaceuticals instead of prevention. And did you become a chef after you became vegan?
Yeah, it was afterwards. In fact, that's why I became a chef.
Oh.
I had this really nice job as a director of marketing for a computer company. But I'm sure most people can guess that being a director of marketing is kind of a soulless job. So, you know, after I had this amazing life change and basically saved myself from being on medication and going the way of a lot of my family members, I knew I had to do something more meaningful. So I quit my job and became chef.
Well, that's kind of a scary transition. I'm sure that you had practiced a little bit and your cooking skills to make sure that you were going to be successful at that before you made the decision.
Yeah, I've become a pretty good amateur cook very quickly. I just had a talent for it, and I started after college, and then when I went vegan, it made me explore food in a way that you don't get pushed to do so, even in a traditional cooking school, especially at the time when there weren't that many people out there serving good vegan food. So I just forced myself to explore all these different cuisines, and I became pretty good pretty fast.
So you went from soulless to soulful.
Yeah.
How was your experience in culinary school? Was it your intent to cook vegan throughout your schooling, and was the school supportive, and how did that go?
Actually, my experience with culinary school is a little odd and different because there weren't any good cooking schools where I could even cook, say, vegetarian food. I had to teach myself, and that turned out to be a really good thing because I've taught in culinary school. I know I'm the first vegan instructor in the La Cordon Bleu program, and I think I might be one of the few that's ever gone to cooking school. And then when I was there, I noticed something about culinary school, which is it's not the best place to learn how to cook really great food.
Really?
It's the best place to learn how to run the business aspect of it.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, because when you think of culinary school, you don't think you're figuring out how much food to order. You're thinking about
right.
all the wonderful food.
You're going to learn how to cook all this wonderful stuff, and you'll get some good techniques, but they're not techniques you can't get outside of going to a really good cooking class or studying some of the great food authors and or going to, say, Mexico and just eating the food there and asking people at a taco stand how they make their food. You'll get a great food education doing that. But going to culinary school will teach you how to do that for 100 people. And it'll teach you how to order and run staff, manage kitchen, and all this other stuff. That's the real benefit to it.
Well, we, here in El Paso, we really love tacos, so it was good to see that your first book features tacos, speaking of Mexico, and some of the recipes sound delicious. Like for me, I love mole, so when I saw you had tacos mole with zucchini and chard, that sounded great.
Thank you. I love those tacos. You're making me hungry.
Yeah, I'm making myself hungry. Yeah, and then there's like also smoked mushroom, jalapeno, and lime tacos. Right. I think you need to come down to El Paso and cater one of our Vegetarian Society dinners.
You're right.
I would be happy to do that.
That would be awesome.
So I'm curious, when you were getting out of the culinary program, what were you at all apprehensive about what you were going to do and or how you were going to try to make a living? Did you get the sense that there was a market to be able to cook vegan and or have a restaurant, or what were your thoughts?
My thought was, I hope this works. But really, the way it came about was I had been cooking a lot, and I had a small food business selling stuff like salsas and condiments and things like that. And then a friend of mine asked me to cater a party for her, and it was the biggest group I had ever cooked a meal for, and it's kind of funny because it was only 42 people, which now seems like I can do it, but the drop in the hat because I've catered for over 1,000 people.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
The 42 seems easy, but at the time, I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do?
42 people. And they're hungry vegans, too. You know how these vegans are.
They weren't even vegan, and that was the scary part.
Oh. Yeah, that extra pressure there.
There was extra pressure, and then after it was over, I got a standing ovation, so I was like, okay, I'm going to keep doing this.
Oh, that's cool.
And so people started asking me to teach classes and do more catering, and then the business just kind of spiraled from there.
That's awesome. And then you founded the world's first vegan food magazine.
Yes. That was called Vegan Culinary Experience, and I noticed, I mean, there was Veggie News out there, but Veggie News isn't really what I consider a food magazine.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought we needed something that was more like Bon Appetit or Savour or something like that. So I started the magazine, started pumping out way more recipes than was humanly possible at the time, taking pictures of them, and started gathering some of the best-known vegan food authors and chefs in the community, and they started writing for the magazine, too. And it was a really great experience doing that.
Is the magazine still operational?
No, I discontinued it a couple years ago because, I was doing it for free, which is hard to
keep up.
In other words, you were losing money, right?
I was losing money, but I started this meal service to go along with the magazine, so I was making all this food, and then people started asking me if I would deliver that food to them, so I started doing that in conjunction with the magazine 8 years ago. And that just completely took over what I was doing. So it was a tough decision, but it was also, I have a family and there's money in one and not money in the other.
Yeah, good point.
Do you think that it's just a trend that's hot right now, vegan food, or is this really the wave of the future?
I think we're kind of being forced into it, which is great. I mean, like, a lot of the vegans that I know who have been vegan for a while, I mean, we choose it, but society at large is being forced into it because of all the environmental impacts and the health impacts that not being vegan has caused. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No.
That we have to go that way. And I sometimes do see some backlash. Like, I think the I Love Bacon movement is in part a slight backlash against all the plant-based stuff out there, but that's okay because we're still winning.
Well, and like just last night I was at an event for work and, you know, I had ordered the vegan dish and, you know, everybody around me was getting like some kind of raw steak, prime rib or something with like butter on top of it. And the guy next to me says, you know, I would die if I had to eat what you're eating. And I was just looking at him thinking,
like, you're going to die because you are eating like that.
I hope that this I Love Bacon backlash stops, because it's so weird to see people with T-shirts on that say that. It's right. Really strange.
Yeah, and the stickers. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to help the movement as well with the recent report about the link between cancer and these processed meats.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of my friends who are meat eaters and who are sharing the bacon stuff stopped doing that after that report came out, except for a couple of them. And I was thinking, you're the couple guys that are like 150 pounds overweight and are suffering from all these other diseases. So guys, look at that before you keep posting that stuff.
Now, you said that you were already overweight, and then on your website it says something like you lost 100 pounds after you went vegan. But I'm sure that took a while, too. It's not healthy to lose just 100 pounds right away, so I'm sure it was a process, but I'm sure you felt a lot better as you were going through that process.
I did, and the cool thing was I lost the first 60 pounds just through changing my diet. I didn't add any exercise in at the time.
Wow.
And as I got more energy and I felt better, I wanted to get out there and exercise, and that's when I lost the rest of the weight. And it took about 2 years to lose the 100 pounds. For diabetes, it actually went away very fast. All the symptoms went away in just a couple months, and then I was free of diabetes in 8 months.
That's incredible.
Yeah, especially in the Southwest and the South, where diabetes is just so rampant. And I think there's a lot of people who could identify with your story, and just they're trying to, you know, they're faced with this prognosis at the, you know, in their 20s, 30s, 40s, or 50s, and say, hey, look, you have diabetes now, and you're going to be on insulin, and you're going to be on meds the rest of your life, and you got to worry about losing limbs, and it's just, you know, people are, you know, they'd rather continue on that path and face all those health issues than just simply change their diet.
Yeah, how can I give up bacon?
Right.
And some of them don't even know, which is kind of sad. Like, I just had a friend on Facebook, and he had most of his foot amputated because of diabetes. And after talking to him, he had no idea that he could change his diet and have a better outcome.
Well, you wonder, because you see these stories even like in CNN and some of the major news media, as they carry these stories about, you know, the benefits of plant-based diet. How do these people not see it is my question. Yeah. I guess they're not looking for it, so they're not keyed into it like we are.
I think that's it, because sometimes those stories get buried, but we see them, we latch onto them, and we're like, yes, that's awesome.
Yes.
But for the normal population, they're like, oh, that came on at 1 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was going to say, you know, with the new year coming up, there's going to be a lot of resolutions for weight loss. You co-authored a New York Times bestseller. It was called The 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart, which you co-authored with Dr. Neil Bernard. Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, what can our listeners expect if they want to buy this book and get started on a new path for the new year?
So that book is geared towards, a weight loss kickstart, but it also happens to be the same diet that treats diabetes and heart disease and all this other stuff. And what they can expect from that book is no compromise on the taste that you get with the recipe. Because my thought is, just because something is healthy doesn't mean that it should taste bad. It still has to be as outstanding as the food you were eating before that, otherwise you're not going to stick with it. So all the recipes in that book are geared to be maximize taste and also happen to be very healthy. So that's what you'll get from that book. Plus, there are a ton of Southwestern recipes in there because I grew up in the Southwest, and that's just the food that I love. So if you want Southwestern food, you're going to get an extra bonus from that book.
You know, it seems to me that most vegan food I've had has been incredibly tasty, and it's strange that there's the perception among the general population that we eat only bland food and salads and tofu. It boggles my mind.
I've seen a huge change in the past few years. I'll admit, when I first went vegan 15 years ago, I went to many potlucks and over restaurants where I thought the food was eh. Now I go to that stuff and the food is always spectacular.
That's great. Yeah, it gives us a lot of hope. One of the things that I hope to do one day is attend one of the cooking classes that you do. I noticed on your website that you all go to different countries. I saw one in Italy, and you offer cooking classes and as part of a trip. Can you tell us a little bit more about those?
Oh, those trips are a blast. During the day, we go out and we do basically like a cultural event. We'll go to a historical site. We'll go visit a museum. We'll go see a castle, go to the beach or something like that. And then at night, we come back to wherever we're staying, and I host a cooking class on regional cuisine. So when I did one in France, I did a cooking class on vegan cheeses and wines. And we did a meal where we paired different vegan cheeses and wines with the different foods. And when I went to Italy, we had a cooking class on how to make wood-fired pizza. So we do lots and lots of fun stuff. I always make sure we visit the local farmers markets when we're there, because that's, for me, that's like one of the most exciting parts of the trip, and it is for a lot of others.
Where's your next trip?
I'm not sure. I'm kind of taking next year off. My daughter just turned one.
Oh.
Hard to leave with her that young. So I think that the year after that, we're looking at doing some more trips. I'm looking at Spain, going back to Costa Rica, and going back to Paris.
Well, I'll tell you that I recently went to Granada, Spain, and I was very impressed by all the vegan restaurants there and the vegan tapas. It was wonderful. You might think about going in that area. It was wonderful.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion.
Jason, could you tell our listeners where they can go to learn more about the book, The 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart, your classes, and all the great work that you've been doing?
Yeah, the website is theveganpaste.com.
Great. We've been talking with Jason Weirich. Thanks so much for being with us, Jason.
Hey, thank you, guys.